Good morning, everyone.
Let's turn to Luke chapter 14. Luke 14. And it came about when he went into the house of one of the leaders of the Pharisees on the Sabbath to eat bread, that they were watching him closely. And there in front of him was a certain man suffering from dropsy. And Jesus answered and spoke to the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not?" But they kept silent, and he took hold of him and healed him and sent him away. And he said to them, "Which one of you shall have a son or an ox fall into a well and will not immediately pull him out on the Sabbath day?" And they could make no reply to this. And he began speaking a parable to the invited guests when he noticed how they had been picking out the places of honor at the table, saying to them, "When you are invited by someone to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor, lest someone more distinguished than you may be invited by him. And he who invited you both shall come and say to you, 'Give place to this man,' and then in disgrace you proceed to occupy the last place. But when you are invited, go and recline at the last place, so that when the one who has invited you comes, he may say to you, 'Friend, move up higher.' Then you will have honor in the sight of all who are at the table with you. For everyone who exalts himself shall be humbled, and he who humbles himself shall be exalted." And he also went on to say to one who had invited him, "When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return and repayment come to you. But when you give a reception, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, so they do not have any means to repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." And when one of those who were reclining at the table with him heard this, he said to him, "Blessed is everyone who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God." But he said to him, "A certain man was giving a big dinner, and he invited many. And at the dinner hour, he sent his slave and said to those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is ready now.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first one said to him, 'I have bought a piece of land. I need to go out and look at it. Please consider me excused.' Another one said, 'I have bought 5 yoke of oxen. I'm going to try them out. Please consider me excused.' Another one said, 'I have married a wife, and for that reason I cannot come.' And the slave came back and reported this to his master. Then the head of the household became angry and said to his slave, 'Go out at once into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in here the poor, the crippled and blind and lame.' And the slave said, 'Master, what are you commanded has been done, and still there is room.' And the master said to the slave, 'Go out into the highways and along the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste of my dinner.' Now great multitudes were going along with him, and he turned and said to them, 'If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which one of you, when he wants to build a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who observe it begin to ridicule him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, when he sets out to meet another king in battle, will not first sit down and take counsel whether he is strong enough with 10,000 men to encounter the one coming against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks terms of peace. So therefore, no one of you can be my disciple who does not give up all his own possessions. Therefore, salt is good, but even if salt has become tasteless, what will it be seasoned? With what will it be seasoned? It is useless, either for the soil or for the manure pile. It is thrown out. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Amen. So a few days ago, I mentioned that at some point in these chapters, that there was going to be a shift, right? So he went from popular teaching, and then now he turned his face towards Jerusalem, and his tone changes quite a bit. And that's what we have here. It's actually happened in chapter 13. I should have mentioned it last Saturday. But at verse 22 and 13, we see that he has turned his face towards Jerusalem, and so a shift occurs in his teaching. It's much stronger. It's much more in your face in a lot of ways. And so he begins to, while he's doing this thing, he's reacting to the situation and the people that are around him. You know, and so that's something that I really enjoy. I mean, that's why we've always, you know, in all the years we've done this, I think the only one time, well, we did Acts last year, and then the first time we did Proverbs. But other than that, we've been going through the Gospels because it's so rich with meaning, and it's so rich with just the kind of the picture of how Jesus was. And when he walked around, if you notice, he was always looking for opportunities to teach people. You know, he would grab a hold of every teachable moment that came, and no matter what question or what a response came, he would always take that, and then he'd follow that up with his agenda, right? And so it's a good way for us to learn how to witness to people. You know, whatever questions or whatever objections or things come our way, you know, we can respond to those things. But don't just stop there and then press your agenda, you know, of exactly why you're, you know, talking to this person and whatnot. And Jesus does that. And so you look at every part here and he's responding to something and then he's coming through the response and he's presenting what he really wants to say. And so he comes and he deals with the Sabbath issue, right, because this is a big issue with the religious leaders. So he's dealing with the issue, heals this man, right, and then he's invited to a dinner, a banquet. And thus begins this whole teaching on the banquet. And he basically is giving the guy advice. Look, you know, this is the way you ought to do it. If you want an eternal reward, don't invite people that are going to, you know, do good things for you. You know, invite, you know, what he says here, the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind. And it says, and if you do this, you'll be blessed, right? And your reward will be in heaven. And it continues on. And then another guy cries out and said, well, blessed is everyone who shall eat the bread of the kingdom of God. And Jesus says, well, actually, let me tell you this story. And this is and I'll spend most of my time on this because it's a very powerful parable. And I'll kind of break it down for you a little bit and lead us into a time of prayer. But this parable of the dinner, he invites these people. The slave goes out and tells them to come in. Now, you have to understand, first century invitations, right? These guys are not saying no up front. They've already said yes, okay? And so they, in this tradition, they have what is a double invitation. And so what would happen is the person holding the feast or banquet would tell them, would invite the village or invite people to come. They would say, yes, I'm coming. And then the person, you know, whatever date, would set, you know, the food, put everything together. And then they would send the slave out to invite them to come now. Right? And so it's like they've already received the invitation. They've already said yes to the invitation. And then when the time, right, to act upon the invitation is there, they come up with these lame excuses. And I'll explain how lame they are, right? Three excuses, and they deal with three particular temptations that you will have in not following Christ, right? The first temptation deals with your wealth, right? The first part is property. Look what he says. He says, they all begin to make excuses, and he says, well, I bought a piece of land. I need to go out and look at it. Please consider me excused. Now, anyone here ever buy a house or a car or a piece of land that you never looked at? You know, I mean, do you have that much faith, you know? I mean, have you ever, you know, gone on a whim and actually bought something that you've never, ever seen in your life? This guy was lying, you know? I mean, this is a total fabrication. There's no way, you know? And so he was tempted by his wealth. You know, and so let's move on to the next one, right? So the next guy comes and he says, well, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen. I'm going to try them out. Please consider me excused. Again, what farmer buys ox without first trying it out? You know, I mean, it's just ridiculous, right? I mean, any, you know, cattleman or whatnot, they'll inspect the steer, send people as ranchers, and, you know, the whole deal, you know, go on a test drive and do the whole thing, and then they'll buy it. And this guy says, well, I've already bought it. You know, but I need to go test it out now. So consider me excused. You know, and so you have, you know, basically dealing with property or dealing with wealth. And then now, right, this guy is using an excuse of his livelihood, you know, to get out of the commitment that he's made to this banquet. And then you get to the next person, and then he says, well, I married a wife, and for that reason, I cannot come. Now, that's got to be the dumbest reason of all. You know, but like what, your wife is not invited? You know, I mean, you know, so what? Okay, you have a wife. Come on in, even more to be married. But again, it deals with our relationships. You know, and if you look at the temptations and you look at, you know, the things the enemy has put before us in terms of our, you know, just really wanting to go deeper with God and go for it, you'll be attacked on these three levels. You'll be attacked on your wealth, you know, your finances. You know, you'll be attacked on your livelihood, your work. Right, I can't tell you how many people compromise their faith because of work. You know what I mean? I can't tell you how many times people compromise their faith because of wealth. You know, and then the last one is in the area of relationships. You know, and I mean, this is probably speaks more to most of us, you know, here in this room than probably the other ones. You know, but I mean, you know, I know so many people that cried out to God, God, I just want to be married, Lord. Just bring that man or woman of God and let me get married. And as soon as they get married, see you later, God. You know, I mean, I ran into someone a little while ago that used to come to church and used to pray in the morning like you guys, you know, and prayed for a husband, got married, and she doesn't come to church anymore, right? I'm just happy, kind of, you know, and stuff. And I ran into her, man, she had so much shame on her face, right? I mean, it was kind of sad. You know, I took it easy on her, right, and stuff. And we met, I saw her at Starbucks and whatnot. But, you know, it's amazing how we so easily fail, not necessarily fail, but renege on our commitment that we made to the Lord because of money, you know, because of our jobs. I mean, wouldn't it be so insane for us to cry out to God for our workplace, to cry out to God for our work and ask God for success and bonuses and all these things, and yet not live up to what God has called us to in the marketplace? I mean, wouldn't that just be stupid? I mean, can you imagine God saying, huh? You know, I mean, this is what I just gave you. You know, I bless you with this, and now you're going to do this? You know, I mean, it would just seem so ridiculous. I mean, wouldn't it? You know, and this is exactly what's happening here in this parable, right? And you know, and then this, the whole idea of relationships. You know, and as God, you know, as we talked about yesterday, as God blesses us in our material needs, right, in our finances, in our wealth, you know, as he blesses us in our livelihood, in our work, and in our jobs, and our careers, and then as he blesses us in relationships, you know, it doesn't mean that once you got it, right, that you turn your back on God now, you know, you turn your back on God's family. But that's precisely what these guys did. Right, every single one, you know, they, you know, this double invitation. They said, "Yes, I'll be there. Yeah, God, I'll go to the nations. Yes, Lord, I'll speak to that person. Yes, God, I'll give that thing. You know, yes, Lord, you know, I'll commit this time or this thing. You know, and then when push comes to shove, right, we got too busy at work. We got too busy with our boyfriends and girlfriends. You know, we got too busy making money. You know, and the next thing you know, right, we fail in many ways to live up to the life that God has in store for every single one of us. You know, and so what does the Lord say? He says, okay, forget those people, right? You know, go invite anybody. You know, open up all the doors and, you know, and let anybody in. You know, and then he goes on and he talks about discipleship because he's taking it to the next level. He says, this is discipleship, right? This is what it means. If anyone comes after me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. And he tells him, look, calculate the cost. Calculate the cost. You know, now, it doesn't mean, okay, everyone, let's abandon our mothers. Let's abandon our fathers, right? Let's abandon all these. The phrase here is talking about in comparison to your love, right, of him. So he's not saying hate your mother, hate your father. He's using a Hebrew idiom. It's a strong language, you know, to draw the point that, you know, Jesus is saying, look, right, I'm about to go to the cross. You better make sure that you want to be my follower. You know, you better darn make sure that this is something that you want to do in your life. Calculate the cost. You know, this is discipleship. This is what it's all about. And this is, you know, what the Lord sent him, you know, me here for. And he begins to really challenge them in this thing. You know, and then he'll kind of continue on in chapter 15. So let's close our eyes today. It's a good challenge for a Monday morning. And I'll ask you to pray on two different levels here. On one, is there anything right now that you have committed to God that you have not followed through yet? Maybe God asked you to do something. Maybe God asked you to give something. Maybe God asked you to go somewhere and you said, yes, Lord. Whatever it is there something that you agreed to the invitation, but you haven't quite done it yet? Now, listen carefully to what I'm about to say. God's not disappointed in you, right? So don't think God's looking down and saying, you scumbag, you know, what's wrong with you? But there's grace as an opportunity that God brings this message to us this morning, that you may make things right. You put aside lame excuses. Well, I'm too busy at work. Well, when I make enough money, you know, when I have enough savings, I'll do it. You know, or when I get married, yeah, then I'll really be faithful. Whatever it is, if you know in your heart that there's something that God has really called you to, and you know that, you've already made that affirmative, just obey. Somehow in the course of this week, just obey. Right? Real simple. The other mode that I want to ask you to pray about as well is Jihei is about to lead us in a song of worship. You know, are you being tempted in any of these things? In your finances, you know, in your livelihood, in your work, or in the area of relationships? And you feel like the enemy is really, really bogging you down, you know, and just really preventing you from really experiencing the fullness, and you feel like your defenses are being lowered. Ask God for strength. Ask Him to strengthen you during this time. Right, that truly that we'd be followers of Christ. And so let's pray on these things as Jihei leads us in a song of worship.
Crucified to set me free, live to bring Him faith in the chaos, in confusion. I know Your sovereign still in the moment. All my delight is in You, Lord. You know all of my hope, all of my strength, all my delight is in you, Lord, forevermore. There is no one else Jesus, crucified to set me free, live to bring him praise. There is no one else for me, none but Jesus, crucified to set me free. Now I live to bring him
Let's pray together. Let's pray that we be an obedient community. Let's pray that whatever God asks us to do, that we would obey. Whatever it may be. Pray for yourself. And again, if there's any commitments that you've made and you haven't followed through yet, just ask God for strength. Right? Ask Him for courage to really step out and really go for it in God in that way. And then let's really begin to really examine our lives and, you know, just as we read in that parable, those excuses were so lame. It's not any different than the excuses that we make. Right? If Jesus Christ is Lord, it means yes. So you can't say, oh, my work schedule, or, and you can't say, oh, I got a date, or whatnot. They're all lame excuses. Right? And God will empower you. All right, to really follow through in the commitments that you've made. And so let's pray for yourself, pray for our church, that whatever commitments we've made as a church, as a community, that we live that out as well. Well, let's pray. Our group for prayer focused on, let's pray for China. Let's ask God to continue to move on this country. As we pray for the whole nation, let's also lift up our missionaries there and ask the Lord to continue to bless them. And pray for the Chung family, and God would continue to move upon them and bless John as he travels through the underground movement there. Let's pray for Matt and Pastor Nate's parents as well. In Qingdao, let's ask God to continue to bless them and teach them to pray and the warfare in the spirit. Let's pray for our kids in Chichihar. Let's ask the Lord to comfort them and really just pour His heart out. They would continue to grow and be strong. And let's lift up China right now. Next, let's pray for our building fund. And specifically today, let's pray for wisdom, you know, as we make a bid on the 8th. Let's pray that God would just really speak to us about what we should bid and the whole process. We had a meeting yesterday. There's a lot of stuff that's going to happen before then. And we're actually a little behind schedule. And let's pray that God would really move upon us. We need our financial records audited. And that's actually the first priority. We need to get our limited status with the government in order. And a lot of things have to happen. And this is it's a God thing. And so let's really cover. And then in the whole process, too, let's cover our church and make sure that we're all on the same page and that this is something that we really want to go forward with together as a church, you know. And if there's, you know, dissenters or people that disagree, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. But let's pray they disagree for the right reasons, you know, not out of pride or, you know, out of feeling left out or anything like that. And so let's really ask the Lord to come and just touch this whole situation before Him. Let's go to our member focus time, and let's pray for our first brother, Matt. Let's ask God to bless him. Let's pray for Katharina. Next slide. Let's pray for Angela, Angie. Let's ask God to touch her. Lord, we thank you. Yeah, we bless you today, Lord, and we agree with your word, God, that its obedience is greater than sacrifice, Lord. And so we pray, God, that we be a house of obedience, Lord. We be a church, God, that obeys you because we trust you, because we know who you are, God, and we know your desires and the way that you want to touch and enlarge our lives, Lord. And so we gladly obey, Father. Lord, forgive us, God, for lame excuses that we've offered up all these years, Lord, and putting our work, putting our relationships, putting our finances and our property, Lord, before you. And God, we ask, God, that we be a people, Lord, that are able to go beyond that, Father, to see the fullness of God. And the reality is, Lord, that as we obey you, God, then all those things will come, Father God, in even greater measure, Father, that we may give even more to you, Lord. And so would you come and just speak to us, God, about our commitments that we've made. We thank you, Father. Help us this week. Strengthen us this week, God, as we fast. For many of us, God, it's the last week of our fast. Strengthen us, Lord, that we may, Lord, do what you've called us to do, God, in a measure that we've never attempted before. So we bless you, God. We love you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great time praying. And we'll see you again tomorrow.